all of us. Lord, I just ask that you will bless Michael as he speaks to us, and bless us as we listen to him. Open our hearts so that we can hear what you need to say to us, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I can do a bit of an introduction and then you read the reading. Is that okay? Do you mind? Thank you, Jo. She rang up and said, is there anything she could do to help? And so that's great. A couple of weeks ago, Paul spoke. Have you spoken for the last two Sundays? He introduced Joseph with a little bit of the background of showing what a sort of dysfunctional family Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and co really were. And then last week, I think you looked at the story of Joseph in Potiphar's house and how he had to deal with the problem of seduction or attempted seduction. And tonight we're actually thinking about Joseph literally in the pits, but somehow not forgotten by God. We're looking at chapter 39 of Genesis. But firstly, just three things to kind of by way of introduction. Firstly, one of the things I love about Bible stories, right through, whether it's from the Garden of Eden right the way through to the whole end of the New Testament, is they give us insight into how God interacts with ordinary people throughout history, in many different times and places and circumstances and cultures. And as you see God at work relating to all these different awkward people, it gives us both encouragement to see that God does interact with us and communicate with us and deal with us and use us, but also that God is just as involved in daily life today as he was back in the Garden of Eden and every era since. So the first point is that God has always been involved in ordinary lives. Second thing is that God uses messed up people. Now, there are some people who get good grades at school, they hold down a regular job, they manage their money well, they're kind to everyone, they're never late for appointments and always remember birthdays and anniversaries. Hands up if you can name someone in the Bible who fits that description. On the other hand, there are other people who mess up, fail, get sacked, don't manage money well, forget appointments and birthdays, lose their cool when pushed to the limit, and do have the habit of saying and doing the wrong things. The Bible is full of them, whether it's Abraham, Gideon, Moses, Samson, Jacob, Joseph, Jacob, David, Peter, Paul, etc. The brilliant thing, and somebody did an analysis of an HR person did an analysis of the disciples that Jesus chose, and none of them would have passed an interview for a suitable person to be a disciple of Jesus. The great news is that God still loves and uses messed up people. So if you feel disqualified by things that have gone on in your life, you qualify to be God's child and for God to use you to do great and mighty things. So with that leads us nicely into the story of Joseph. And Joe, please come and read.
So we're starting at Genesis 39, verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected, so he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there's no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jane. Joseph's a great example of God taking a less than perfect person and using him ultimately to save not just one nation, but 2 nations from destruction by famine. Joseph's life so far, we hear that he was the youngest son of his elderly father and his second wife. He tended to stay at home dreaming when his brothers were out looking after the cows and the sheep and things. We know that he was a dreamer and that he shared those dreams with his brothers in not slightly the most tactful way and kind of upset his brothers. They kidnapped him, they sold him as a slave. He was then sold on to Potiphar, who was one of the Pharaoh's chief officers, and he served as a slave in his house. And then Joseph had to flee when Potiphar's wife got a bit keen on him. But she then turned that around and accused him, and he ended up unjustly in prison. But Joseph had 3 things going for him that come out in this story that I think might be useful for us. And so we throw these out, and hopefully one of them might be useful. Firstly, Joseph never loses his confidence in God. It says, "While Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the warden." It's the same thing as when he was captured and originally sold as a slave in Egypt. He was bought by Potiphar, and it says the Lord was with Joseph. And even though he found himself now in prison, unjustly put there, unrepresented, and with no hope of ever getting out or getting justice, as it says later on, he trusted in the one who judges justly. Somehow, despite the injustice he was suffering, Joseph kept his confidence in God. The circumstances were as bad as any circumstances you could imagine, yet somehow Joseph knew that God is bigger than the circumstances. How do you react when things go badly? Do you give up? Do you throw a tantrum? Or do you somehow step back and trust that God has a plan? Secondly, Joseph was a servant, and Joseph served others well. He grew up as a slightly precocious brat, but he'd grown up, and he'd learnt to take life as it comes and to get on the best as he can. He could have sulked and skived when he was a slave in Potiphar's house, got away with the minimum, but instead he knuckled down, he served faithfully, he won the confidence of Potiphar, and was put in charge of his house. He then had every reason to sulk and complain and kick off now that he was in prison. But he didn't. He got on with serving, with looking after the needs of others. And he was noticed by the warden and put in charge of all, it says he was put in charge of all those held in prison and was made responsible for all that was done there, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Joseph had the sense of God's big picture, so he didn't let people or circumstances get him down. He cultivated a habit of serving. In Mark 10:45, we read that Jesus, the Son of Man, came not to be served, but to serve. And he sets us a pattern. So when things do not work out as we hoped, perhaps we didn't get the promotion, we didn't get the recognition, we didn't get the appreciation, how do we react? Joseph's an example to us, because of his confidence in God, he could fulfill his purpose in life, just as Jesus did, faithfully serving the God who he knew and serving the people he had the opportunity to serve. Finally, thirdly, Joseph learnt to listen to God. We read in the Psalms that King David learned a lot about God through his years of working as a shepherd out looking after the sheep in the wilderness. Joseph probably wasn't an action person. He seemed to have stayed at home when his brothers were looking after the sheep and cattle. But it says that he was a dreamer, and perhaps in his dreaming, sort of lying under the sycamore trees or whatever he did do, perhaps in doing that, he discovered how to tune in to God, how to listen to God. And in return, God knew that he could trust Joseph to pass on whatever God showed him. Joseph, as a teenager, had dreams. And he didn't try to understand those dreams. He didn't try to interpret the dreams. He just simply passed on the message. And in fact, in doing so, he was preparing his family for what would come years ahead. But as a captive, and then again as a captive slave, and then later as a prisoner, he had lots of time to think and pray and deepen his relationship with God. And I believe that because he was tuned in to the way God communicates with us, because he was willing to share what he saw and heard, God was able to use him. Firstly, as we mentioned, to forewarn his family about what would happen. Then obviously to help the cupbearer. And later, probably next week, we will look at warning Pharaoh of the pending famine and what needs to happen to that. We need to learn to listen to God. Proverbs 2:1-2 says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commandments within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." In Proverbs, we're encouraged to tune into God, to learn to be one with him, to listen to him. And we do that through storing up his word in our hearts, spending time soaking up the Bible, reading it, meditating on it, studying it, memorizing it. And then to turn our ears to listen to what God is saying. Years ago, when I was at theological college, we had what were they called, a listening to God group. And we'd meet for an hour every Monday morning, and we'd read a passage of scripture and then just spend about 20 minutes or half an hour just on our own in silence, chewing over what that passage said. And then we'd come together and share what we felt God was saying. And what used to happen was we'd get like little pieces of a jigsaw. Different people would get different parts of the picture, and then the whole thing would come together. And some fascinating things, both for our own lives and for the college, came out of that. We need to learn to listen to God. Jesus says, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." So, and we read later in Paul's epistles that two of the manifestations or the gifts of the Holy Spirit are knowledge and wisdom. God taking people who are in tune with him, who are willing to listen to him, and revealing things that would not otherwise be revealed, so that they can speak into people's situations. Sometimes we have this at the end of the service. Somebody comes forward and says, I think God is saying such and such. That is because people are tuning in and hearing God and faithfully passing it on. So be encouraged. God loves to be involved with ordinary, messed up people. He takes us as he finds us, but then he helps us to mature to become the people he wants us to be. And Joseph is a fantastic example of that. And he has these wonderful three characteristics that we can all learn from. He never loses his confidence in God, whatever the circumstances. He kept serving others, whatever his circumstances. And he was tuned into and listened to God and was faithful in sharing whatever God said to him. So let's just pray for a moment and see if there's just something in this that God wants to say to us. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you tonight that you're here and that you are just as active today as you've been throughout history. And Father, as we have these thoughts, these random thoughts from Joseph's life, we pray, Lord, that you might just speak into our hearts something that you have for us to encourage us, to stimulate us, to enable us just to do things that perhaps we've been putting off. So Father, will you just bless each person here tonight and just help us to hang on to one thing from this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.